37 minutes later, the steps of the Jedi Temple were thronged with holo journalists. The Kashyyyri Sith currently in residence there had made themselves scarce, lest some more creative reporter catch a glimpse of a beautiful lavender face. And Warkon had sent ahead what human Sith he could contact to prepare at least somewhat for the Chief of State's arrival. She had insisted he accompany her, establishing their friendship in the public's mind. So it was that High Lord Ivar Warkon strode beside Rukari Kem as they ascended the temple that had once belonged to their enemy and now belonged to them. It was a giddy, heady moment, the delight dampened for Warkon in that he wished his Grand Lord could have seen it. But then again, he wouldn't be with Roki Kem if Vol were alive. She did not grant interviews, smiling apologetically every time a reporter shouted out something to her, moving steadily up the steps in a long, shimmering dress that looked like flowing water. They reached the top, then turned around and looked down. So much adoration in the faces as they looked up at her. So much faith and trust and hope. And she, her face alight with love, if completely false, for the people she had chosen to guide. It occurred to Warkon that it might not be such a big step to Goddess after all. With a final wave, Roki turned and entered the temple. Several Sith stood at attention. Among them were senators, business owners, hollow anchors, security chiefs. They were all beautiful and ready to serve, and Warkon was terribly proud of them. One of Roki's assistants was speaking into a comm. She clicked it off, approached her mistress, and bowed.
"I have news, my lady, both good and bad," she said. "First, I am pleased to report to you that as of 2 minutes ago, Senator Padmal Ovin is dead."
Roki smiled her falsely sweet smile.
"I knew that already,"
she said, and actually giggled a little.
"What is the rest of your news?"
The woman hesitated.
"Well," she said, "unfortunately, it appears that Jedi Solo escaped before we could move her to a more secure location to await her execution."
The blue-green brows drew together, and even Warkon had to brace himself against the fury he knew was coming.
"An escape? She is gone? Who did this? I will find and destroy them!" "My lady,"
the woman kept insisting,
"please, we were able to capture one of those who had assisted with the escape. We have arranged for him to be brought here, assuming that you would wish to see him, and attend to his punishment yourself."
Warkon felt the storm of Roki's anger subsiding before the prospect of torturing one who had displeased her.
"You assumed rightly,"
she said.
"Bring him before me, now."
The woman bowed and hurried off, speaking into her comlink. Warkon turned toward Roki.
"You do realize that Leia and her rescuers couldn't possibly have known about your, new policy towards the Jedi," he said. "This is simply an unfortunate coincidence."
She jerked her head to look at him.
"Unfortunate for them,"
she said.
"They will regret ever knowing her by the time I am through with them. But I will learn what I want to know."
Warkon wondered who had dared break Leia out of prison. Whoever it was, her husband certainly had to be among them. He wondered where Leia's adopted daughter was. Amelia, he believed her name to be. If they could find her, that would certainly be excellent leverage. The assistant was returning, with her two human males. Between them, they half-carried, half-dragged another male. His head was covered by a hood, and his hands were tightly, obviously painfully bound. The guards brought their prisoner up to Roki and stood, awaiting their orders. She addressed the prisoner first.
"Kneel,"
she ordered.
"Show proper respect to your beloved Queen of the Stars."
The prisoner didn't move. One of the guards shoved him down, and he grunted as his knees struck stone.
"Remove the hood,"
Roki said.